Yo, 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 what's going on? It's your boy, Kim. Are you interested in becoming a sponsor for the Flying Intellectual Podcast? Would you like us to advertise your business on this platform? If interested, email us at info@flyyoungintellectual.com. That's info@flyyoungintellectual.com. We're waiting to hear from you. Peace. People, it's your boy Kim. What's going on, people? It's your boy Kim, and welcome back to the Flying Intellectual Podcast. Happy New Year! It is a new year. We made it to a new year. I hope everybody is having a great year so far. I hope that everybody has aligned themselves with the things that they want to see better with themselves from last year. Hey man, last year is behind us at the end of the day. You can't do anything about it now. You can't do nothing to change it. All you can do is move forward in this new year and make sure that you're being the best version of yourself. That's what a Fly Young Intellectual is all about. To those who are just joining for the first time, this is the Fly Young Intellectual Podcast. Fly Young Intellectual is all about mindset. It's all about making sure that we're doing the necessary to be better versions of ourselves. That starts with doing the self-work. That starts with therapy. That starts with making sure that we're creating a fortified mind to be able to go through these trials, tribulations, to be able to survive and embrace these successes and be able to stay level-headed and grounded through it all. That's really the key, right? And as we realize, you know, there are a lot of things when it comes to the new year that people try to set goals, they try to set expectations. The technical term is resolutions. They make these resolutions. Hey, man, I'm going to get in the best shape of my life. Hey, I'm going to do this. Hey, I'm going to do that. And there's nothing wrong with that. It's good to plan. I think the only short-term negative aspect of it is that a lot of people do it based on just it being the new year. So they set these short-term goals. And then after a while, it kind of fizzles out because it's not rooted in, it's not grounded in really wanting, you know, essentially better for yourself over time. It's kind of rooted in just like this short-term phase that everybody kind of hops on. So my challenge to everybody this year is if you want better for yourself, do better. And not, let it not just be a New Year thing. Put the consistency in, let it be something that can sustain and be built upon, right? And be sustainable. Another thing that I really want to dig in today, the name of this episode is Kill the Imposter. All right, Kill the Imposter Syndrome, that is. Imposter Syndrome, something that a lot of people deal with. Majority of people deal with, whether they admit it or not. And that's just simply feeling like they don't deserve. As they kind of go up in life or attain new levels, there's always kind of sometimes this looming feeling of, hey man, do I belong? Do I really deserve? Is this really for me? Is this a dream? Do I belong? All these kind of things. That little voice in your head. And I know very much a lot about imposter syndrome. As it's something that I realized last year that I really have to do better with. Knowing that the hard work that you're doing, right? The work that you're putting in, the things that you're attaining, it's not a fluke, and it's not something that you bumped into, and it's not something that came by chance. You deserve it. You put the work in, and it's super important for us to be able to kind of analyze the essential kind of triggers to imposter syndrome and make sure that we're paying attention to it. For me, and y'all know when I talk, I'm gonna always talk from my point of view, based on what I've lived, based on what I'm doing in my life, and hopefully it aligns with somebody else and it gives somebody else the inspiration to be able to, hey, go and do some self-work themselves. Whether we're talking to someone about their mental health, or whether we're talking to somebody about their career and how they're dominating space, or whether we're talking about brand development, all these things, it doesn't matter. It's an extension of us. It's an extension of the individual. It's a personified aspect of the individual, right? So we want to make sure that the individual is doing the work and is aligned with their highest version of themselves. So let's get into it a little bit as it applies to imposter syndrome and some ways that I believe we should be working on killing that imposter, so that we can enjoy the fruits of our labor and enjoy the journey. So as I said, last year, 2023, for me, was a year of a lot of looking myself in the mirror, just on the good and the bad, and the things that I need to work on. One of the things that I realized over time that I needed to work on, and that takes a lot of space up in my mind, both emotionally, sometimes physically as well, is that no matter what I do, no matter how hard I work, no matter what spaces I occupy because I deserve to, there's always this thing that makes you feel like, you shouldn't be here. You're not good enough. You're not qualified enough, right? You don't have the degrees they have. You didn't do enough to be here, right? All these kind of things, you hear these things in your head, and that stuff takes up a lot of space. I don't know about you, but for me, when I'm thinking and I'm in that kind of funk in terms of like just my mind is going on that kind of stuff, it takes up a lot of space and it weighs on me very heavily. And sometimes that gray cloud can last for a few days, right? That gray cloud of just kind of like those doubts, it's almost like a storm that really builds up. And if you don't, you know, jump in front of it, it can really, really, really be something that holds you back. By the time you know it, you're behind the eight ball with things that you have to accomplish, and you know, you're not doing what the things that you plan to do, and those kind of aspects are being put on the back burner because you're inside your head. We all have emotions, we all have feelings. So I think the first thing that is necessary to be done is to acknowledge the feeling, right? Why do I feel this way? How do I feel this way? What is causing me to feel this way? And a lot of those stuff has to be outside of doing the self-work yourself in terms of asking yourself these questions. A lot of the time, these things need to come out in therapy. These things need to come out from a neutral party asking those questions and having essentially no ties to you, where you can kind of truly go back in time, truly navigate your journey so far and see a lot of the time where this stuff stems from. And a lot of the time you realize it stems from childhood, right? The way you were brought up. It might be some words that were said to you. It might be some phrases that were said to you. It might be some subliminal things, right? Not actually probably physically said to you, but insinuated in different ways. And that's a lot of people, we don't do the work that really stems from our childhood. I could speak for myself, especially. A lot of the things that I'm essentially finding myself having to heal from, having to essentially realign and reteach myself stems from my childhood. Hey man, our parents are not perfect people. I don't know if somebody needed to hear this, but it is what it is. Our parents are not perfect people. A lot of our parents simply just didn't have the emotional intelligence that they should have had, and that should have been insinuated and passed down to us. They were doing the best that they could with what they had sometimes. Sometimes they didn't do the best they could, but what are you going to do, right? I'm 33 years old. I can't essentially blame my parents for everything that I'm going through now, even if some of it stems from that. My job is to make sure that I'm doing the work for myself and the future generations that come from me. So, really acknowledging that, hey, some of the things that we were taught, some of the things that were passed down are really parts of the issues, especially when it comes to that imposter, when it's that lesser than mindset, you know, not feeling like you deserve better. It comes straight from our parents. Once we acknowledge that, then we could kind of trace the timeline, essentially. We can kind of point out specifics within the moments that really kind of essentially created who we are. But at the end of the day, as a child, all we are doing are just learning. Between that age 0 to essentially, I mean, I would say 16, but correct me if I'm wrong. I'm talking about just the main parts of it. And really before that, to be honest, before 16. But essentially, at the end of the day, those years, those formidable years, it's spent just absorbing whatever it is that we are surrounded by. So that means our environment has a direct correlation to a lot of who we are. And we see this in many different ways through how we grew up. We see this in many different ways through the actions that were taken, the decisions that were made, right? More than likely, if a kid is in a drug-infested gang violent environment, they are going to more than likely have some of those elements within their life, especially if they spent a lot of time outside, right, in the environment. Now, you could have grown up in that environment and your parents protected you from it as much as possible, but the influences of your environment, somehow, some way, some of it is going to get to you, good or bad, right? The kid who went to a private school, who, you know, had good extracurricular activities, opportunity, who probably was in church a little more than the average, it doesn't guarantee that they are a perfect child or that they had like a very smooth ascension to becoming a good human being. But however, the choices and the influences around them gave them a positive reinforcement for the most part. Now, we all have our own decisions to make. And we know that we've seen the evidence of like kids who were in good parent home, two parent home, went to the best schools, and for some reason still ended up in jail for like robbery. Like what? Ended up in, you know, fights and bringing a gun to school and them kind of dumb stuff. Like, and that's just decision making. That's whatever they felt like they needed to fit into, you know, whatever they felt like they wanted to be a rebel to, whatever that system was. They felt like they needed to lash out in that kind of way. But it's not for lack of them not having a good environment. So that just comes down to choices and decisions. With all that being said, environment and upbringing is key to the good and the bad within us over time, because that's what we learn and that's what we gravitated to. Not until that we do the self-work and we unlearn a lot of things and reteach ourselves a lot of things, do we recognize that sometimes, hey man, our parents are just, they fell short in some aspects. They gave their best in some aspects. It just is what it is, right? There's no actual book on parenting, on how to be the best parent. It's a case-by-case basis. And you hope and pray that everybody did their best and can do their best when they have children. So back to tracing imposter syndrome, going back to the essential aspects of your upbringing and tracing that and being super honest with yourself. Because a lot of the times too, we don't want to, I'll be honest, like you try to give passes, right? As I said, our parents aren't perfect. That could come off as like a pass. You could be like, hey, Kim, you know, yeah, my parents ain't perfect, but that don't mean that they couldn't have done a better job. I do not disagree. I do not disagree. My point is, the further and further you get away from your childhood and you are an adult, you have to let go of the actual aspects of what they did wrong, identify it, and then do the work to make sure that you're better. And that's just what it is. As an imposter syndrome reformed, you know, working on my reforming from kind of on hearing some of that mind imposter syndrome talk, I realize that when I say that I don't deserve this or do I belong here or whatever, a lot of the time it comes from, you know, your generations of living below their maximum potential. Right? A lot of that comes from there. Now, moving on, a lot of the time, as we continue growing, society especially right now, let's talk about it, man. One of the worst aspects of society right now, and it has its good, but the negative ramifications of it is so loud that it's really raising up a generation of imposter syndrome human beings. And the cause of that, in a lot of ways, is social media. Social media is the biggest drug of all time. I'll say it again. I think social media is the biggest and most addictive drug of all time. This thing is literally making people feel like, yo, I could never be good enough. I can never live up to her. I can never look like her. I can never make that much money. I can never travel that much. Shoot, we're the same age. How come they seem to be on vacations more than me? How come they can have three kids, a wife, and a mansion, and we're the same age? Social media has allowed people to overly compare themselves from the comfort of their own home. Can we remember when there was no social media? When if you really wanted to know what your neighbor was doing, you would really have to physically be nosy or maybe like look out your window and hope to catch them doing something, or you hear an argument and you kind of tell everybody in the house, shh, 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 hush, 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 let me hear what's going on. Right? You have to go out your way to be nosy. Now, as long as someone else has an account, you can follow them or not follow them and stalk them or not. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's so many different ways to be distracted and to compare yourself. And that comparison and that aspect of social media has really bred a new generation of imposter syndrome, where people just feel like hey, it's not good enough because it doesn't look like that. It's a dangerous, dangerous thing. And for me personally, I am learning to like, yo, put that social media down. Use it as a tool. Use it as a tool. It's a great tool. And there's a lot of opportunity there. But if you're not being deliberate and intentional about the usage of it, it will use you and it'll make a mess of you. And before you know it, you will realize that you haven't done a goddamn thing for yourself. But you know everything that such and such is doing. I tweeted the other day that social media has bred a new, it bred a new generation of voyeurs. Niggas just want to watch. Like, I'm keeping it real. I see people every day just watching. And they would rather watch someone else do than do themselves. And then in the process of that, they are looking at what you do, but they're not looking at how you do it. So they're looking at the product, the finished product, comparing their your finished product to what they haven't started. And niggas is literally shelving their whole ideas and their whole lives because they are intimidated by someone else when they should really just be doing their own work and dominating their own lane. It's a sad time. It's really sad. And look, man, I ain't nobody father. I'm not sitting here to be the voice of a generation. I'm just giving it from my perspective. This year, in 2024, do your best to limit social media, the watching, the looking, the comparing. That is going to be a main aspect in overcoming imposter syndrome moving forward. So I'm going to ask everybody to pledge. I'm going to clip this part of the pod right here. I want everybody, you know what I'm saying, once I post it, to comment and pledge that they will do better with governing themselves as it applies to social media and making sure that they are helping themselves overcome imposter syndrome by being disciplined when it comes to social media and how much of it they intake. Because it's one of the main aspects of imposter syndrome right now. I think it's the most modern version of imposter syndrome triggers. For sure. And it's imperative that we control the things that we can control. In life, you already are going to have things that you cannot control. That's just what it is. That's just absolutely what it is. And you have to find ways to challenge yourself to control what it is you can't control. For me, I have found out about myself that, look, man, the work you put in is literally eternal. And when I say it's eternal, a big part of the imposter syndrome for me is that I don't live in my wins enough to make them actually feel like a win. So, with that being said, if I do something great for myself, I reach another milestone or whatever that looks like, check something else off of my personal list of boxes, on to the next, because I don't have time to sit, wait. Then when I move on to the next thing, it feels brand new to me. It feels like it's new territory that I have no reason being here. When I just did something that was a platform and a stepping board for me to get to this new level. So one of the ways I want us to really work on overcoming imposter syndrome is track your progress. Track your progress. Wins, losses, whatever you look at that. Once again, no losses if you're doing. Lessons. Lessons. No losses. A loss is only something that's not being done. A loss is only not getting off the porch and not doing. If you're doing and you're doing the best to be the best version of yourself, not only are you a fly young intellectual, wink, wink, but you're doing. And there's no loss there. You're learning as you go. Imperfectly doing has done more for me than perfectly doing has ever done. And that is just to say, track your progress. be able to acknowledge when you did something great for yourself and take that off, celebrate yourself. Track your progress so that on your way to the next progress and the next milestone, you have evidence and you can live in and remember what it is that you did before this that allowed you to get to this level. It's not a fluke. What you're doing is not a fluke. What you have done is not a fluke. Can you imagine for someone like me, outside of being a brand manager, owning my own companies, being a part of other companies, all of that kind of stuff, my career started and is rooted in the music industry. Being classically trained from the age of 6 as a piano player, over 2 decades of experience. Over 2 decades. And even within that, because I kind of disassociated myself so far from music because I wanted all my new ventures to stick more, and I was so afraid of people keeping me in the chem as a musician box, I pretty much was like, yo, F the music, at least publicly. I mean, I was still working privately, right? Because when you do that much work, you know, you already have that Rolodex of work. People are going to call you for work and things like that. But I limited myself and turned down a lot of opportunities and stuff like that because I felt like I wanted to disassociate myself to have this new stuff that I'm doing stick. Well, that was a form of imposter syndrome in itself, as I later realized, because when people would call me for bigger opportunities, I started questioning myself like, yo, do I belong on these stages? Do I belong on this gig? Have I done enough? Totally eradicating the 2 decades plus of work, the 10,000 gazillion hours plus of reps and of work that I've done within the music industry. So it made me feel like a totally brand new kid in the space mentally because I felt like I didn't belong, or I'm getting nervous because I think in my mind it's too big of a stage. This imposter syndrome stuff is serious stuff, man, like for real. And the only way to be proactive about it is to track the progress and live within those moments of realizing that you are doing the work and the work that you're doing is eternal. So once again, the work is going to manifest itself being done. Once you do it, it's done. It lives on. Right? That's another thing that social media is terrible for. It makes it feel like you have to move on to the next thing really quickly because nobody cares about what you did yesterday. I'm a victim of that. I'm not going to lie to y'all. I'm a victim of that. Where I feel like, look, man, I don't even want to talk about what I did last week. I want to talk about this new shit I'm doing right now because that's what matters right now. And that stuff is dangerous. That stuff breeds imposter syndrome because, once again, the next thing that you do, you've just disassociated yourself from the last thing you've done, which makes you feel like you don't belong here. So let's make sure that we're doing better there in tracking our progress over time and keeping that line of communication with ourselves and with our accomplishments. Then, affirmations. We have to speak life into ourselves. And this is something I'm getting better with. Verbally speaking life into yourself is another way that I've realized you can overcome is a bit of a strong word, but you can heal on your way up to overcoming imposter syndrome. Look yourself in the mirror and say, I am great. You know what? Let's do it together right now. I am great. You say that. I am great. I am worthy. I deserve. And you can fill in the blanks, right? You can fill it after you say those things. You can say, you know, you say your own name, right? and say what it is that you're worthy of. You can go down a list of things, right? I've done the work to be here. I will continue to be the best version of myself. Doing things like that reinforce and leaves little space for imposter syndrome. Leaves very little space. Because now you're so consumed with these affirmations that you've just said to yourself that the imposter syndrome doesn't have much of a room to live. So what you realize is, when it comes to imposter syndrome, or what I've realized, is that it works best when you're when your mind is in an empty silent space. When you have those affirmations will kind of circulate just like anything else in your mind, if you put your mind on it, right? It will circulate itself and circulate itself and circulate itself, and you will consume yourself with those positive thoughts, which will leave little space for imposter syndrome. But when you're not saying things positively to yourself and you're leaving your mind susceptible to whatever comes, I promise you, that's a very, 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 very easy way to have that little bitch-ass imposter come into your mind and say, "Hey, man, what you doing? Oh, you think you deserve that job that you just applied for? You know you don't have the qualifications for that. You know good and damn well that person deserves it more." You know, that kind of stuff. So fill your mind with positive reinforcement. Fill your mind with positive affirmations that will raise your vibration and that will continue to aid you through becoming a better version of yourself. We're going to take a quick little pause here, because as you know or don't know, we got two new segments on the pod. Let's clap it up. We got two new segments on the pod. Say it again. Let's do it again. Yep. Thank you. You're far too kind. Two new segments on the pod. All right. Settle down. You're making me nervous. Settle down. Thank you. Two new segments. The first segment that we're going to be talking about today is called Read the Fucking Room. Just read it. Read the fucking room. That's the name of the segment. Read the Fucking Room is simply a segment about paying attention and having sensitivity to whether it's sociopolitical issues, whether it's cultural issues, whatever it is that is going on, especially within our community, making sure that we are acknowledging it, making sure that we're not doing anything to bring extra BS to it. We want to be better. We want to raise it up. We want to make sure that we're educated. We want to make sure that we are being sensitive, especially if it's towards people, things of that nature. So, with that being said, read the fucking room. What are we reading the fucking room about today? Let's support our friends. Seems pretty simple, though, no? Let's support our friends. Support is super important, guys. If you call somebody your friend, if you call somebody your compadre, if somebody has done something for you, I think it goes without saying, but it seems like I have to say it. Read the fucking room and say thank you. And when your friends do something, make sure you big them up just like they big you up. That's what a friendship is all about. It's about support, right? More than financial, more than just emotional support. And that's important to the success of a great friendship. So read the fucking room and support your friends. Let's cheer for that. Good stuff, good stuff, good stuff. And for those part of the podcast community, FYI Podcast, feel free to send in your Read the Fucking Room. I would love to have like an email list or like a email list of like people sending in things that they feel like people are not reading the fucking room about. That'd be dope. So let's do that as well. Send in your Read the Fucking Room moments and I'm going to read them on the fucking pod. Okay? All right. Enough F bad words now. We're back to clean FYI. All right? Great. Now, let's go back to, if you're just tuning in, which you shouldn't because you should be listening to this pod from the beginning. But if you are, we're talking about killing the imposter syndrome, that is. All right? And so far, we've talked about some ways to kind of work on overcoming imposter syndrome. Firstly, track your progress. That gives you a tangible way to be able to live in the moment and know that the next level that you're getting to, you do deserve to be there because you are doing the work and it's natural ascension. Secondly, give yourself positive affirmation. Positive reinforcement limits the silence in your mind that is you know, critical for imposter syndrome to be able to live within. You know, imposter syndrome lives best within a place where you're not reinforcing how dope you are. You're not reinforcing, you know, how far you've come, how well you are doing. And that's where you leave room for imposter syndrome. Okay? And thirdly, I think a very important thing to working away from that imposter syndrome mindset is to be present and aware of your feelings. Imposter syndrome works very well for people who are not tracking their feelings in real time. If you let your feelings just run its course and you let your feelings just do what it's going to do, more than likely, that imposter syndrome is going to sneak in there as one of those feelings. Trust me. One thing I am not good at is like being aware of my feelings and like openly like acknowledging them. Straight up. And I could track that all the way to my upbringing. A lot of people could track that too, especially being black. Let's keep it a bean, guys. Let's keep it a buck. As black people, we are not very much conditioned to living in our feelings and acknowledging them. And that's for a plethora of reasons, but we can directly correlate it to slavery. I mean, honestly, it starts there. How can I live in my feelings? How can I acknowledge my feelings when I have massa over my shoulder whipping me, got me tied up, got me out in the fields working 24/7. I got a whole family that if I mess up for a second, they could lose me or I could lose them, right? It's too much. It was too much to think about at one time. So a lot of time, there was no time for anybody to acknowledge their feelings. You pass that down 400 years, which we will never equal in my lifetime. I'll never equal the amount of time that slavery existed, right? So you pass that down for generation to generation to generation, and it becomes a thing. It becomes a real thing where like, yo, you don't have no time to cry. You don't have no time to this. You don't have no time to that. Don't even acknowledge your headache because you got to work. That's just that slavery mindset, guys. Let's unlearn that in 2024 and beyond. Let's unlearn. Let's unlearn not living our feelings and not acknowledging them. And when I say living in it, that doesn't mean wallowing in it. That means being honest with yourself and how you feel and taking the steps to make sure that you can feel better through a healthy process. In correlation to imposter syndrome, that is necessary because, hey, if I feel this way, there is a reason I feel this way. And it's important for me to go and find out why I feel this way. And when I can identify the why, then I can do the work to make sure that I can overcome that. I truly believe that. All right? So let's make sure that we are being present and aware of our feelings and then doing the necessary to be able to overcome that. All right? I think that's super, 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 super duper important. We have another segment that we've brought on the pod. Drum roll, please. Raise your vibrations. Raise your vibrations is a simple segment that is going to be advice in how to raise your vibration, how to feel better, how to do something for you that will make you happy, do something for you that will make you physically feel great, do something for you that will affect you in such a positive way that it'll be infectious to the people around you. My raise your vibration of the day is go take a walk. Yep, just that simple. Nothing more to it. Go and take a walk. Walking has done a lot for me. As I told y'all last year, I had a crazy kind of health scare. And after that, I really took walking. Like, walking became like not only like a form of therapy for me, but obviously like the physical positives that comes with it, you know, for blood pressure and things of that nature. Cardio, you know, it's low intensity, depending on the trails and the environment. But for the most part, if you're just walking, you know, you can shoot the breeze, you can listen to music, you can have a conversation on the phone, you're not super out of breath, right? And I've discovered that walking for me has aided me in raising my vibration. I feel good. And when you walk enough, you're going to look good. You're going to drop some pounds. You're going to tone up. You eat well enough paired with that. It's all good, man. There's no negative ramifications for walking. So go raise your vibration. Go take a walk in your local neighborhood and just enjoy it. I know it's cold. You know, I'm from the Virgin Islands. I wish I was home right now. But hey, bundle up. It's a cold world, especially during the months of January, between December and about like what, April. So bundle up and let's go take a walk. And that will help you raise your vibration. All right? Hopefully, this podcast has helped you today. Kill the imposter this year. Kill the imposter. You are worthy. You deserve. You're here for a reason. You made it this far for a reason. You didn't come 2024 for no reason. Kill that imposter. Take a 45, take a 9mm straight to that imposter through doing the hard work of identifying why you have imposter syndrome and by implementing ways to eradicate and keep that imposter at bay. Follow us on Instagram at Fly Young Intellectual, Facebook as well. Follow the pod, Fly Young Intellectual Podcast. Send us some feedback. Let us know how the podcast is positively affecting you. Leave a review. give us a rating, please. This kind of stuff helps us with the algorithm, helps get the word out there, helps the reach of the podcast to get even out there even more. That's necessary. If you want to continue hearing this podcast and having this podcast, you know, we're going to continue growing it. We're going to continue bringing great quality content that affects your life in a positive way. And we just want you to help us share it. That's all I'm asking. I'm not asking nobody for no donation. I'm not asking for nobody for no nothing. All I'm asking you to do is just like, share, subscribe, and leave a review, if you'd be so kind. All right? The Flying Intellectual Podcast is about informing, inspiring, and interacting. And we have some great, great guests coming on the show. Stay tuned. I'm super, super excited. And we're just going to consistently continue building this thing and take it really to another level. And that's my promise to you, the community. And thank you for the support. Thank you for those who always see me in public and be like, yo, when is the next episode of the podcast? I realize that the voice and the impact of the podcast has reached even further than I thought. I just started doing this for me. But somehow, some way on the way, people are being helped and being encouraged and inspired. And that makes me feel great. And we're going to continue it, keeping it going. Until next time, peace.